States. I worked at a very large company, medical medical centers all over the country. And I worked with this lady. Every morning I would come in and she'd be at her desk, and without fail, I could see her right now. You know, she's just constantly stressed. She's like a bow that's always pulled tight. And she would always say, "I'm ready to scream." And, you know, first thing in the morning, and she's already stressed to the max. Can you imagine what she's like at 3 or 4 in the afternoon? Let me try another survey. This is a workaholic survey. Answer this in your mind. Are you always in a hurry? Yes or no? Is your list of things to do always unrealistically long? Never get done. Do you use, this is a big one, do you use off days to catch up on unfinished work on a regular basis? Has more than one person told you you need to slow down? Some of you are nodding your head to every single one I'm asking. You guys need help really bad. We have some phone numbers I'd like to give you after class tonight. Do you feel guilty when you relax? Do you feel guilty like you shouldn't be doing that? And how about this one? Do you have to get sick in order to take some time off? Sometimes the body says, "I've had enough, I need a break." The question here tonight, as you can see, I hope, on your handouts, is living a balanced life. How many of you would like to live a balanced life? You want to live a balanced life? Of course. I think, you know, pretty much all of us, we all want to live a balanced life, but I have yet to meet a totally balanced person. You know, in the Bible, there was one balanced person. His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. But none of us in this room are living a completely balanced life. That's our goal. That's our desire. But we're not there. You know, you guys are not out committing crimes every week, I hope. I hope. I could be mistaken. But you're not immoral all through the week. You're not terrorists. You're not axe murderers. But most of us, most of you, I would venture to say, live a pretty unbalanced life, at least at times. Live an unbalanced life. So maybe these other sins don't get us, but this thing of out of balance, I think it might get most of us. The principle of balance, one of those laws that God established the universe with. Every little part of the universe is based on balance. The earth is on balance. The earth is suspended on what? What's it called? An axis. Okay? The axis, it's at a certain angle, isn't it? And that certain angle is just the right balance. Any variation from that angle, and it could be disastrous. The earth is on a balance. The universe is on a balance. We talk about the balance of the ecosystem. The ecosystem. Things work to balance each other out. We talk about even architecture has to have balance, a building. The principle of balancing stress loads. That's why when we do a building project, you have to have an engineer who, you know, tests and makes sure the building is properly balanced. Without it, it's going to be stressed and collapse. Kind of like you. If your life is not balanced, you get stressed and eventually you'll collapse. Even our human body is built on a balance. We have 9 different systems in our body, and I don't know all of them. I know we have 9. Maybe you can help me out. I know we have a circulatory system. We have a respiratory system. What else? Huh? Reproductive. Thank you, Michael. I didn't have that one written down, Mike, but I knew it would come up. Respiratory. What else did you say? Digestive. Nervous. I believe skeletal system is one of them. And I don't know. Muscular, is that one? Okay, you guys know. But all this is also, you know, part of being healthy physically is to have a balance in our system. When we're out of balance, when we're out of whack, you know, we call that a disease. A disease. A disease is like, you know, dis-ease. You're not at ease any longer. It's not good. And healing is recovery of balance into our body. God wants us to have a balanced life. Have balance in all things in our life. And I think too many of us, myself, are sometimes guilty of not having a proper balance. And maybe you are too. Psalms 127 states, I'm glad you're here, by the way. Those of you who are here, I'm glad you're here. Because it shows, first of all, you want a balance in your life. Maybe you're not succeeding like you ought to be, but you want that. That's your goal. That's your desire. And you know God's a part of that balance. Psalm 127, verse 2. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For He grants sleep to those He loves. God is concerned about you. God is concerned that you get the right amount of rest. God is concerned when you're under stress. He's concerned if you don't have the right kind of balance in your life. We are to work, yes. God made us to work. I believe in heaven we'll be working. Heaven's not a place where we're going to sit around on nice puffy clouds in bathrobes playing on harps. Okay, if you thought that was heaven, sorry, you know, you're wrong. God made us for doing things. He's a creative God, and He made us in His image. And I believe throughout eternity, we're going to be making and doing and working. But it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the kind of work that is fulfilling, isn't laborious and unfulfilling. But the bottom line is this, when my life is out of balance, I don't believe I'm in God's will. It is not God's will for my life to be out of balance. And so that's a continual struggle. On your sheets, acronym, I like that. We're going to go through the word balance. Every letter stands for something. First of all, B stands for build. Build my life around Christ. The only totally balanced person who ever lived is Christ. Therefore, when I put Him at the center of my life, it stands to reason I have a better chance of being balanced if He's at the center of my life more than anything else. Think of your life like a wheel. And in the middle of the wheel is called what? No. In the middle of a wheel, a wagon wheel, say. The hub. Okay, it's called the hub. And from the hub, everything else extends out. The spokes down to the wheel, the tire, whatever it is. But at the hub, at the center of the wheel, at the hub, is Christ. The spokes, they all extend out to various things like your relationships, your family, your career, your finances, your dreams, your goals. But at the center of it all is the hub, is Christ at the center. What is your life centered around? You know how to tell what your life is centered around? A simple test. What do you think about the most? Some people, I think, center their lives around themselves. They're at the center of their lives. That doesn't work. Some people, I've seen, center their lives around their kids. Everything revolves around the kids. And they're running through life, and the kids are at the center. Now, I love my kids, all four of them. I love them, but they're not at the center. If they're at the center, something's wrong and out of balance. What's at the center of your life? What relationships? Is money, is success at the center? What is at the center? What do you think about the most? Not only is the hub the controlling factor, but like in a car, it's also the center of where the power is. And from there, it gets dispensed. The power comes from the hub, from the axle. It comes from the inner part, and it works its way out, not vice versa. Is God at the center in your life? Is He your source of power? Are you finding yourself running out of power and getting out of balance, and your life is getting more stressed and more stressed? Matthew 6:33. Everybody knows this one, right? Let's say it with me, okay? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek Him. Put Him at the center, in the hub of your life. Everything else revolves around God, around Christ in your life. And the Bible says all these other things on your wheel, all these other spokes that go out that are part of who you are in your life, He takes care of those. But the source, that's your power. What does it mean to put God first in your life? Don't think of it in terms of this is first place, this is second place, this is third place. Think of it in terms of what's at the center. Everything else is important. It's hard to say that your marriage isn't as important as your kids, or your work isn't as important, so you try to categorize it. But at the center, what's at the center? And everything else is also important, but you must have the right power source in the center. Everything else comes second. Jesus summarized life priorities in Matthew 22 when He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see what's at the center? At the center, loving God. This year, like I keep saying over and over again, are you going to be able to get to the end of the year and say, it's been a successful year? I'm broke. I lost my house. My car was repossessed. But it's been successful. You know why? Because I know God better and I love Him more this year than I did last year. I don't want your cars to get repossessed. I don't want you to go broke. That's not the point. But what are you measuring success by? What are you measuring success by? A stands for accept. Accept my humanity. You know what that means? That means you're not God. Raise your hand if you thought you were God. Maybe we won't raise our hands, but sometimes we act like it. We try to control everything. We try to think that everything hinges on us, on what we do. And without us, everything's going to fall apart. We try to play God. We try to do everything, solve everybody's problems, meet everybody's needs, fulfill everybody's expectations. But we have to recognize that we have limitations. I'm a human being. You're a human being. You're not a Superman. I'm not even semi-Superman. My kids, Harrison, maybe he thinks Dad's Superman. But he'll find out one day. Do you think Dad's Superman? He's shaking his head no like a naughty boy, and I'll talk to you later. But when you play God, you always end up stressed and always end up overworking. Many people, listen, I think there's a lie out there that really says you can have it all. And we believe this, and we run ourselves ragged trying to have it all. You can have it all. You can be a fantastic mom, dad, but also involved in all community events, be a leader at the church, be a triathlete. You can write your books and go on a music tour. You can have it all. And so you spend so much time, and so there's only so much of you to go around. And we find ourselves getting more deeper and more stressed, and we feel like we're drowning, and we don't know what to do. Something's going to suffer. Something's going to suffer. And what often suffers It's the two most important things that Jesus says ought to be the center of our life. Your relationship with God suffers, and your relationships that are important suffer. Relationships to husbands, wives, your children, and your church family and your friends, that gets pushed back, and they suffer. One of the causes of an unbalanced life is that we worry about opinions of everybody, opinions of people, and we let expectations of others manipulate us. But listen to me. One thing that really helps me, and I remind myself all the time, is that even God couldn't please everybody. Jesus did not please everybody. Do you understand that? So, who do I think I am if I think I have to please everybody? I'm okay with thinking that some people are not pleased with me. I'm okay with thinking that some people might not even like me. They didn't like Jesus either. Are you okay with that? Have you come to grips with that? Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, "A fool's work wearies him. He does not know the way to town." He doesn't know the way to town? I believe the imagery here is a fool's work is just continual work. He doesn't even know when to quit. He's out of town working in the fields. He doesn't know the way back to home. That's a fool. That's a fool. The Bible says there's a time for everything. There's a time to work. There's a time to... Nobody's resting. To rest. Even pastors fall for this because a lot of people have expectations of pastors. I heard about a guy who came up to a pastor. He said, "I tried to call you on Monday and I couldn't get in touch with you." Pastor said, "That's my day off." The guy trying to be self-righteous says, "Well, the devil never takes a day off." The pastor says, "Yes, and if I didn't, I'd be just like the devil." Satan is not our model. Because Satan never takes a rest doesn't mean we never take a rest. Because God is our model, and the Bible says God rested on the seventh day. Do you? There's a popular group out today. I'm not 100% familiar with them, but I know their name. Jars of Clay, you know that group? Jars of Clay? Who likes Jars of Clay? One or two of you. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where their name comes from. I got 2 Corinthians 45 verse 7. Good luck trying to find that one. But it says this. I believe it's chapter 4, maybe verse 5 or verse 7. Says this, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." The power that's in us. God put His power in jars of clay. Jars of clay, they're not real strong. They break. They're feeble. That's all we are. We're just humans. We accept our humanity. But it gives God all the more chance to shine through us. To shine through you. We're human beings. L. In balance. Limit my labor. Make a conscious decision to make time for other things besides work. I have to decide how many hours I am going to commit and then stick to that. This is especially important for those of you who are self-employed. Sometimes when you're self-employed, you're the boss, everything hinges on you. You take your work home with you, you finish it up, you do weekends because you want to succeed, and you don't take any time. You don't stop. Just like a bow, an arrow, if you're constantly stretched, if you're constantly pulled, you begin to lose that power. You begin to stretch out, and it loses the power of the pull of the bow. You have to have a time of relax and a time of stretching all the time. It's in the Bible. It's right up there with, you know, in the same list of don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal. In the same list, Exodus 20, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." God says, stop working. And we ignore it all the time. Of all the things God said, He said, here are, you know, 10 moral commands that are going to benefit you. And one of them is you stop working on a day. You can't just, you're not made. He made us. He says you're not made to keep going and never rest. It doesn't work too good. It doesn't work for long. What do you do on this Sabbath? You catch up on all the things you haven't got done in the other 6 days? Not a good plan. Let me give you a few things that you need to do. One, you rest the body. The body needs rest. That's basic. We're human beings. I forget which country. I read of a country where they did an experiment in the 20th century and they took away, you know, no working on weekends. You work 7 days a week. But they quickly changed that because the health of the nation just kind of went to pot. People were not made to continue to work. The body doesn't take it. It shuts down. You use it to rest your body. You use it to recharge your emotions. Every one of us needs an emotional recharge. I don't care, you know, who you are. We need, our emotions get ran over. They get hurt. They get tender. We need an emotional recharge. And we also need to refocus our spirit. We need a refocus of our spirit. Refocus on God. That's what we're here doing right now, is a refocus. And we need it. Spiritual refocus. A, in balance, adjust my values. Adjust my values. The reason you need to do this is because our values get out of balance. Our values get out of balance. We start majoring on minors. We start forgetting what's really important in our life. And we get the wrong values. Sometimes materialism sneaks into our lives. And that's the wrong value. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, says, and I saw all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. Do you hear that? What is at the motive, at the heart of so much of people's labor and hard work springs from envy of what his neighbor has. Does that sound like it's also applicable today? You know the term keeping up with the Joneses? Do you try to keep up with the Joneses? Is that what motivates and drives you? God says you have a couple options. You can spend all your time keeping up with the Joneses, or you can forget about them and have a more balanced and less stressful life. I want to have a more balanced and less stressful life. I can't keep up with the Joneses. By the time I get to where the Joneses are, they've already gone somewhere else. You know that's true. By the time you save up and buy the Joneses' car, they got the newer model. By the time you get their house, they got a different house. It doesn't work. Don't do it. That's foolishness. Jesus said it like this. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What good is it for a man to gain everything his heart desires but spiritually he's bankrupt? It's pointless. What good is it for a man to become president of a company but he loses his kids? What good is it for a man to make $1 million, but his marriage is gone? Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better a little bit, but with a balanced life, than a whole lot and totally out of balance, out of whack. The important things become second place. You major on the minors and you lose your focus. In, write down, nourish my inner life. Nourish my inner life. That's an important part. The passion and zeal will go out in your life if you don't tend to this inner fire and nourish your inner life. I know some of you have a passion and zeal for God. I've seen it. I've seen it. Yesterday and Friday night, I met with, there were 18 of us doing some work, getting ready for the year for church. And we had a fantastic time. I got to see some of you in ways I've never seen you before. You'd be surprised at how Herney can dance on a dance pad thing. That was pretty cool. But I've seen passion and I've seen zeal. And we're at the beginning of a year. And I didn't see Casey, and I don't know why. He's careful. But we're at the beginning of the year, and the passion and zeal is there. And, you know, we're looking forward to the best year that International has ever had. And we got some changes, and we're excited, and we're charging forward. But let me tell you something. That fire can be put out if you don't attend. Nourish yourself. Nourish yourself. As a pastor, I have to focus on nourishing my spirit. You understand that? If I'm not nourished, I can't get up and help feed you. I can't just feed you guys the Word without first being fed myself. But you can't keep going forward either without taking time to nourish yourself. Song of Solomon, verse 1. Song of Solomon has some good wisdom. Young single men, I'm not recommending that you read this at home. I'm just kidding, okay? Song of Solomon says in verse 6 of chapter 1, "My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I have neglected." Can you say the same thing? Take out the vineyards and realize, hey, I've been required to take care of everybody else's needs. I've been ministering to everybody else, but I've neglected to nourish my own soul. I've neglected to nourish myself. There's no time for yourself. It's kind of like picture, a big car tire, and it gets a bald spot. And if you have bald tires, you get a bald spot. And what happens at that bald spot sometimes is it begins to balloon out. I saw on Kenny's sidewall, he has a balloon coming out of his tire. Have you fixed it yet? Okay, Ken. But that balloon begins to come out, and you're asking for trouble, and you're in danger, because one day that is just going to explode and it's going to hurt people. And sometimes in your life, if you are neglecting to nourish yourself, spend time being fed, you're like that balloon on a tire that's getting ready to pop, and one day you're going to explode and people are going to get hurt because of it. That's why in our ministries here, we don't want people gone all the time and not being fed in here. In our celebration station, we want them to alternate, to take turns so that they can have time in here to be fed. Even people doing other work outside in the mornings, we want them to be able to rotate, take turns, because we all need fed. We all need it. If you get out and you're just ministering and ministering and ministering and not taking in, you're going to be like that bald tire that needs attention real fast. You need to nourish your inner life. Not only that, but I want to ask you a question. Simple, practical question. What do you do for fun? Do you guys know how to have fun? Some people think having fun is a sin. Jesus never had fun. Do you know how to have fun? What do you do for fun? Oh, another way to put it, and with our leadership, we ask them the question, what is it that fills your what? Your what? Your bucket. What is it that fills your bucket? You don't want your bucket to get empty. Your bucket get empty, you get cranky, you get angry, you get short fused with people. So you got to keep your bucket filled. What is it that fills your bucket? Do the things that fill your bucket. You know what fills my bucket? Spending some quality time with my wife fills my bucket. I like gardening. That fills my bucket. I don't get the garden for a while, I get cranky. I'm stressed, I'm tense, I get out in the garden, do some work, and guess what? My bucket starts to get filled again, and I can do the work. But if all you're doing is giving, giving, working, working, ministering, and you're refusing to fill your own bucket, you're going to pop. What are you neglecting in your life because of your busyness? Not business, but busyness. Are you neglecting your prayer life? Are you neglecting doing stuff with the kids? Are the kids suffering because of your busyness? Your kids are only the age that they're at today, only once. They're only at this age once. They're growing up. Are you neglecting them because of your busyness? Spending time with your husband or wife. You don't get back the time. Life goes by like that. And one day you're at the end of your life. And I swear, believe it or not, I've been with a lot of people on their deathbed. Either in my ministry experience, when I was in school, I worked in a hospital in certain wards where they died all the time, last stage cancer. And I spent a lot of times with people dying, and nobody ever regretted spending a few extra hours at the office. No, I mean, nobody ever looked back and said, I wish I spent a few extra hours at the office. I wish I put in more effort here. I wish I spent less time with the kids and with family. They never do that. The regret is always, why did I waste time on things that don't matter? See, commit your daily schedule to God. Each day, commit your schedule to God. Knowing that you have to cooperate with His schedule and be flexible with your schedule. You just got to know it. You may make your plans, you may make your list of things to do, but commit it to God, knowing that He alone knows what you and I are supposed to do on any given day. In Matthew 9, it tells a story of Jesus. He's on His way to heal a dying, sick child. He's on His way. And on the way, somebody else stops Him and says, you know, Master, can you heal me? It was a lady with a chronic sickness herself. And in my mind, I'm thinking, He's on His way to do something important. He has a schedule to keep. This is far more important. Why can't she wait? The Bible doesn't answer that question. But Jesus understood this principle. The Father knew what He was supposed to do at a given moment. There are times that He said, no, I'm not going to do that right now. One time, Mary and Martha came to Him and said, their brother Lazarus was dying. Come quickly. Come now. He's dying, Jesus. We need You. And Jesus says, I'll come in 2 days. And He waited 2 more days because God had Him doing a work where He was. And He went back, and Lazarus died, but He had a purpose. He fulfilled what God wanted Him to do, the Father. His schedule was subject to God. Be flexible. And finally, E, simply this, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. I only have enough time to do God's will in my life. If there are more things on my schedule than I have time to do, it means either, number one, there are things on my schedule that God never intended for me to do, or number two, I might be doing them in the wrong way. Something's out of whack. Something's out of whack. Regardless of each of those, I need to learn to enjoy the moment. I need to enjoy the moment. Is it possible to be so busy and focused that you don't have time to stop and enjoy? Time to stop and smell the roses, as it were? I want you to be careful of this trap. Be careful of this trap. Goodness. You see that? Be careful of when and then thinking. You know what that is? You fill in some of the gaps, but when I get this project out of the way, then I'll be able to spend more time with my kids. When I get the promotion, then I'll give my wife some more attention. When I finish school, then I'll give God some time. When I just get through university, then I can be in ministry a little more. When I get married, then I'll be more settled and I can serve God better. Some of you who are married, when I'm just single again, then I can serve God better. And we get stuck in this trap of when and then. You've been there. And what a way to waste your life. What a way to waste your life. When the kids grow up, then what? When they leave the house, then what? When they get married, then what? When and then thinking. Proverbs 14 says, a heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy rots the bones. Learn to enjoy the moment. Learn to enjoy the moment. Put Christ at the hub. Enjoy this year. You may have plans and goals. You may be in a place that you really don't want to be right now, and it's hard. You don't have enough of something. But learn to enjoy the moment. Don't waste a single day that God gives to you. Let's strive together to live a balanced life in 2007. Will you strive with me?